Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. And today we have back with us Jeff Moran, who's a career and college planning coach. And today we're going to be talking about all the ways that you should pick the right school, get into the right school, find grants and scholarships, and really, really have a wonderful conversation around that. Jeff, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Mike.
You know, I think that a lot of people take the phrase college planning the same way they do with life planning. And they think, oh, someday I'll get to it. And then they think, oof, now it's got to get it done. But sometimes that runway is really short. So first, give us a little bit of your perspective on what actually is college planning, other than I'd like to go to this school. And then there's like 38, you know, bullet points underneath that goes into college planning that parents just don't really pick up on.
Absolutely. And boy, with college costing more than ever before, certainly over the 40 years I've been doing this, it's incredible at that 8 to 10% increase each year. Planning for college has never been more important. Figuring out who you are, what you ideally want to do, and then determining what you need to major in to become that.
Yeah.
It's important even back in the high school years and that junior, senior year in high school, because you've got to take the prerequisite classes to springboard into college, to springboard into that specific major. So planning ahead has never been more important.
You mentioned in high school and you mentioned major, and it made me think of a couple things, which is, hey, I'd like to be a whatever, fill in the blank. So that means I need to major in fill in the blank. But then all of a sudden, a minute or two into the college career, they're like, yeah, not so much. I'm going to change this. All of a sudden, that takes way more time and costs way more money. So you already said, and we know college costs a buck or two. I mean, college is expensive, but hey, dear college bound student, child of mine, please let's dial in what you'd like to do when you grow up and pick the right major so that you are dialed in and can graduate in 4 years, because I know that statistically people are taking more than 4 years. And so talk a little bit about choosing that major, planning up front, and how that dials into saving time and money.
Absolutely. Better than 60% of the college graduates wish they had a different major, wish they had a different career path. So again, we try to do that in high school, and certainly the first year in college. At the very least, we do a career planning process, and we have lots of information on our website that lends to that. But yet we want to look to see whether it's a trade school, whether it's a 2-year institution, whether it's a 4-year institution, because again, if majority of those kids, 60% have wished they chose a different major, we're finding that better than 50% of the kids are taking 5 years to graduate from that 4-year institution. So you're right, Mike. The more planning we can do ahead of time, the better.
And I know that you could say that about retirement. You could say that about many things. You know, let's plan ahead, measure twice, cut once. All of that makes sense. How much ahead? Like, should we be planning in elementary school? Probably not. It probably wouldn't hurt to glance at it. But when do you say is the real prime time to make sure you get that college planning initiated?
Absolutely. Freshman in high school, okay. at the very, very least, sophomore, junior in high school, you should be strategizing. We do have a free college money report that will help the parents and help the student. And we do have a dashboard that we make available that where you can keep track of classes you've taken, tests you've taken, and never mind in the senior year, applications that have been applied, award letters that have been received. And on that dashboard, you can keep track of things. And we definitely accommodate those freshmen, sophomore in high school, because again, you've got to be taking those prerequisites in order to declare a major in college, unless you go into your freshman year of college undeclared. But that's, I think, one reason why such a high percentage of college students are taking 5 years.
Yeah. And that costs more money and that causes more frustration. So, think about it up front. Now, you're not a horrible person if you don't know what you want to do and you want to just kind of take some gen ed. So, but if at all possible, you know, let's plan on that. And so here's a question for you. Does it, you know, I always like to be, I don't know, maybe a realist, let's say, but I always go like, come on, these college essays, how much are they really effective? Because really the schools just want you to write a check. So they're just, if you've got the GPA and you want to come to the school, you know, just, they're going to let you in. But I also realize that some people like yourself say, hey, look, there's a nuance and an art and a science to writing that essay. How impactful is that?
Absolutely. Very impactful. And we can talk a little bit about community service and internships and not just grades and not just those typical things or ACT, SAT test scores. Those are times have changed, Mike. The school wants to know who you are. What kind of a student are you? Community service and all of those things that really shine a light of who you are, and the essay being a part of that. And we do have a podcast that helps the students determine should you write. Number one, does the school require an essay? Number two, chances are you're going to need those essays for scholarship searches. So absolutely, whether the school requires one or not, we're going to recommend an essay. But yet, you'll be amazed. The schools, it really shines through of who you are. And another thing that's interesting is a lot of these colleges, trade schools or otherwise, will copy and paste that essay, throw it into the Google search bar, and see how much of it is yours or not.
Ooh, that's a really good point. Mm-hmm. So there, you know, you might have just a little bit of, you know, similarity, but you better be talking about yourself, you know. And you bring up a great point about community service or extracurricular. I heard that, you know, maybe schools don't need that, you know, 4.999 GPA or 4.0, you know, maybe they would let it be a little bit less than the top GPA if they see that you've got some breadth and some community involvement and some extracurricular things that support the field of study you're going into. Because people do realize that if you know, were only studying and that's all you did, well, that's not a well-rounded person. And all of that is highlighted in the essay.
Absolutely. So essay is an important part, very important.
But yeah, like you said, you can repurpose that to use for grants and scholarships. So talk a little bit about what that process looks like. Of course, we could do 9 conversations on grants and scholarships, but give us a 30,000 foot overview. Like once you know, you know, freshman year, sophomore year at high school, now we're starting to plan. At what point are you going to start integrating the search for grants and scholarships?
Absolutely. We did a great podcast last year, and we interviewed Monica Matthews, and she's really our go-to expert on scholarships. And we encourage those that are listening to go to our website to click on that, on her. It's a good one. Clearly, she talks about setting the stage in that freshman, sophomore year of high school, really beginning to start to apply and keep track of those scholarships through, I might add, a separate Google Gmail that's dedicated just for scholarships, and another one, by the way, just for applications, and keep it separate from your personal. But that dedicated Gmail, and you're starting to apply to those scholarships in the junior, certainly the senior year in high school, and certainly continue it on through. And you can go in and do Google AdWords or AdWords. We talked about that before. Google Alerts.
Yes.
This digital world we live in.
Yep.
SEO and all the other stuff. The word I was looking for, Mike, was Google Alerts. You go into Google Alerts and you type in chiropractor scholarships, or you type in marketing scholarships or business scholarships, and it's going to start in giving you some every single day. You can limit on how often the push comes through from Google Alerts, but you've now identified the scholarships that you're beginning to apply to. And we want you, we've got a part of our dashboard again that, and encourage separate spreadsheets of keeping track. We've got some great interviews of students that have paid for all 4 years of college with scholarships. Or one of my favorites, an interview, gosh, probably 15, 20 years ago, Aubriana was her name. She's in my radio show section of the site. I set out to prove to her that finding scholarships would be, and it turns out it was, the best part-time job she would ever have in her life. Part-time job. Finding scholarships, it worked out to be $50, $75 an hour. So there's a protocol, there's a process, there's a method of pushing, keeping track of scholarships. And boy, if you're not paying for 1 or 2 years of college, you're not trying hard enough.
And, you know, that's a great point, because I like the correlation with part-time job, because you can't just check the box and go, okay, I applied for a grant and scholarship, didn't work out. I guess that doesn't work. I think that there are myriad amounts of grants and scholarships available. And like you said about the Google alert, at some point you might just need to say, okay, that's enough. Show me, you know, an update once a week, not right. every day or as it comes up, because I think that it's limitless. So, the frustration I think would be like, okay, I've applied for 30 and I haven't even heard anything back, much less gotten them. So what is your advice to people? Cause it does take a minute or two to apply for a grant or scholarship, because they're going to want an essay or an application or fill in this right. blank, and you're going to repurpose the essay, you know, for the different. Well, that takes time. What do you say to help a student just kind of keep plugging away?
It depends on how much money you want to find. It's as simple as that. And we love to say that you can find extra money and pay for laptops. You can find extra money and pay for a 3-meal plan instead of a 1-meal plan, a 2 in a room instead of 4 in a room. You decide. You set off at the beginning. And again, our promise is it will be the best part-time job you will ever have. Finding scholarships, literally billions and billions and billions, tens of thousands of scholarships, and you'd be amazed at how many go unclaimed. It is a process. So we set out at the beginning to decide how much do you want scholarships to pay. We then take that number, work backwards. You'd mentioned my good observation of filling in all those blanks. We encourage RoboForm. And we got that in our members only section of our website. And in that, you click on RoboForm and you get the free version. You fill in all your basic information, who, what, when, where, how, and why, including grades and including majors and including, you name it, test scores and everything. You find the application. It's got all these open blanks. You click enter. And it takes and fills in up to 100, 200, 150 different blanks. So that's 3/4 of the application process. Many that's of them a huge don't require tip. Essays either. So you can do 2, 3, 5 a weekend, and you'll be surprised. Kelly Tanabe and a few of the other interviews, Christopher Penn, several of the interviews in our podcast radio show section of our website, they paid for enough of college where they got money back from the college.
Wow. That is, I love the concept of grants and scholarships and the diligence of just keep doing it. But then that tip about RoboForm, I've used RoboForm probably for 20 years and I don't use it to that extent because I never need to fill out things that extensive. But I do know that when I come up to a form that it's like, oh, I need your whatever, you know, even credit card and all these things, it's just like one click there, it fills in. So that's a huge tip. Let's talk a little bit about now what I feel like the next or one of the next steps is, which is, okay, what school should I go to? You know, like I want to major in this to ultimately get a career in that. Does it really matter to employers these days? Like, oh, you know, I was going to hire you, but you went to XYZ school. Choosing the right school, is that a big deal?
Absolutely. Again, I keep referring to our website, and I know you're going to attach this link at the bottom of this interview. And it's a free college report. And what we do in that college report is we will identify your top 3 schools. We will help you identify 20 or 30. And again, you ultimately need to be applying to 8 to 10, and whether it's through the Common App or otherwise. So in that free college report that we will provide you, you list your top 3 schools, and it's going to tell you, and I know we're going to talk about this in a minute, your estimated family contribution. It's going to tell us the cost of the school, how much grants, how much scholarships specific to that school, not private grants and scholarships, which we just talked about, but what it's going to cost you, what's the average graduation rate, when do you apply, what do you need, what needs to be applied, what paperwork needs to be applied, whether it be the FAFSA, the free application for student aid, whether it's a private school and you need the CSS profile. And I know I'm just bombarding the listeners with all these things. It's incredible, Mike, to think that we're spending more, parents are spending more on their kids' college than they might have spent on their first house.
Yeah.
And certainly their first car, or probably even their last car.
Yeah, I know, right. That's a great point.
We spend so much time planning a vacation and planning what home we're going to buy and what car we're going to buy, but yet we can just so casually move into a $25,000 a year, a $100,000 degree, or a $300,000 degree on the high end. But we need to be planning ahead of time. So the free college report will identify those top three schools and all of those things you just asked.
And, you know, you mentioned, or when we think about choosing the right school, you should choose the right school that you want to go to for the ultimate purpose of getting your job. But also, it reminded me of something. My wife teaches for Colorado Christian University here in Colorado, and she gave me an example recently where the student was coming in to preview the school in the music department, and he had a unique talent, and he pretty clearly was saying to the School of Music, if I'm evaluating you guys to see if you want me to come to your school, I'm going to need a scholarship. And he played the bagpipes. So I think that one thing, it kind of sounds curious, but at the Christmas concert, there he was playing his bagpipe. And I don't know the amount of scholarship. It certainly was not full ride, but if you have a unique talent that might be attractive to a school or a department within a school, that could be potentially a way that you can access some unique, you know, grant scholarship money as well.
Absolutely. College admissions, ironically, with COVID has gone down dramatically. And the schools are beginning to compete more than ever before.
Yeah.
And again, my father taught me so many years ago, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Yep.
And again, the school wants you, likely, just as much as you want that school. Now, there are exceptions, certainly, to that. But again, so many of those schools, they want you. They want that well-rounded school. And if you've got a special quality or a special thing that you do, you'll be amazed. And we're not just talking sports. We're talking something like bagpipes or something like a special career choice that you might want. And that's an interesting point too, to where there are regional representatives within every college area. And that regional representative, we encourage you to get to know him or her, have lunch, get to know that person in person. They're here, they're likely alumni, and they want to get to know you. And they're really getting to know you face to face as a person. And you'd be surprised if you go in and you say, I want to be a business major. And he or her, the regional representative, is thinking, we've got too many business majors. But you go in as a marketing major, just as a quick what if. And all of a sudden they accept you. And there's more money because they need marketing people, or they need certain music instruments. And the example you just gave.
Yeah, that's it just is. Once you're aware of specific opportunities, it's worth checking out, like you said about the grants and scholarships. So let's move into this. If you're a parent of a college bound student and they're busy scurrying away looking at those grants and scholarships and feverishly, you know, enacting robo form to apply and apply, that's great. What can the parent do? You mentioned expected family contribution, EFC. What is that all about, and how can a parent make sure that that is optimized?
Absolutely. And again, one of the things of our college report, which again, we'll be happy to offer in there, are the grants and scholarships specific to the school. So we want to make sure, I want to make sure that I emphasize this. We want to make sure, and you as the parent, that the student's going to be getting the acceptance letter, but it really is the family that's getting the award letter. It's the parents, based on the parents' income, certainly the student's income and assets, but the parents' income and assets, and I'll expand on that. But you'd be amazed in how many times the school only gives half of the normal grant or scholarship. And we can go in with the group I'm part of. There are a number of us across the country that we've collaborated the use of this software. And as we're inputting this information and we're verifying this is the award from this school. This is the dollar amount of that grant and scholarship. And we turn to the parents and say, it's only half of what's normal, our experience, and certainly my group's experience. So then we naturally go back and back to my father's lesson. If you don't ask, you don't get. We say, you know, we've done our homework and we understand that the scholarship, the grant is $5,000. You've only offered $2,500. You'd be amazed in how quickly they will increase and or match that. Again, they're not going to give you your best offer right off the bat.
Yeah.
Anything in life. So the parents' income determines the estimated family contribution, what the government through the FAFSA form, free application. We've got some great videos on our website that explain how to fill those in step by step, because it's like filing your taxes and there's a deadline to do it. So the parents' responsibility to answer your question is to make sure that they've positioned their assets and positioned their income 2 years before the freshman year in college. So they look, the college looks back 2 years at the tax forms and report of the parents. So there's things to do and that's why that my answer earlier was sophomore, junior year of high school, is if working with a college planner like myself, is you can position those assets. And we're not talking loopholes. We're talking where there's assets that count and assets that don't count.
It's just where they're placed. So exactly. Using the P word, you know, it's not like, oh, I'm going to have you spend this money you have in some account. It's just placing it in one account versus another account so that the schools aren't recognizing it and dinging you against your, you know, calculation there.
Absolutely. And something as simple as, we're not going to get into specifics of the account titles, but yet, depending on whether the parent owns the asset, the student owns the asset, or whether the grandparents own the asset, we need to know that ahead of time.
Yep. So there's things to consider, not things that you'll have your, you know, arm twisted behind your back to say, you must do this. But, you know, Jeff can show you some things for consideration. And while the student is optimizing things they can do with making sure they know their major, making sure they're getting grant scholarship applications, maybe the parent can work on polishing up some things all 2 to 3 years ahead of freshman year of college. So again, it kind of gets down to, we know this pin in the timeline of our life is going to happen, right? If you're going to college, we know you're going to college. Well, now let's just back it up 2 to 3 years and go, okay, we know this is happening. Let's now make sure we're planning so that it is optimized. So I think these are some wonderful, wonderful tips. Any last thoughts, Jeff? And then how can people learn more about that college planning report that you were mentioning?
Thank you. I appreciate that. They can go to collegefundingcoach.com, or they can call my main number, 303-860-1234, 303-860-1234. Easy to go to the website, College Funding Coach, and again, it's .com. And there's a schedule a meeting in there. There's career fitters. We talked a little bit about that. There's the podcast section. And again, schedule a meeting is in there. But I know that, Mike, you're kind enough to post the free college report at the bottom of this interview. Click on that. And again, we promise to send out your top three colleges. It's going to ask you some personal questions. What's your income? Whether you own a home? Again, that some of the colleges are going to look at your home value. How much do you have in checking, savings? Again, you don't give us your last name. You certainly don't give us any identifying information from a Social Security perspective, but the kind of the who, what, when, where, and how, what is
just a thumbnail sketch
to produce. That's right. To produce your exchange, your estimated family contribution, and click on that. And I think you'd be surprised. It's a lot of great information, Mike.
Awesome. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for coming on today. It was a real pleasure talking
with
you.
Likewise. Thanks, Mike.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.